Okay. Okay, good morning, everyone. You guys...
I like that.
You guys ready to get some worship done this morning? Yes, I am. Well, we're going to open up with some prayer. That will help get us ready. Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray that... Well, Lord God, first we just give you this day, Lord. I know that I feel like I've been having attitude about things lately, Lord God. I'm really letting my flesh take over. I'm being more short, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord God, you just help me be an overcomer. Father, I pray that right now, Lord God, when we come here today, we are asking you to change us, to lead us, to that something's going to be fruitful, Lord God. I pray that we don't just come here every Sunday and want to remain the same, Lord God. Because if we just want to stay the same, Lord God, that excitement, all of those things is just going to die out, Lord God. And we just know we're just going to fall away. So, Father, I pray that every time we're here, Lord God, even every day when we wake up, Father, we say, I want to be made new. I want to change. I want to go deeper. Father, help us to do that today, Lord God. Help us to learn, Lord. Help us to not want to hang on to the past. Help us to really just... want to only just pursue your future for us, Lord. We want to grow, Lord. We want to be fruitful, Lord. We want people to see that fruit on us of your Holy Spirit, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Lord. Help us to show those things to those that are in the world right now, Lord. Especially help us with patience, Lord.
Lord, hallelujah, praise
your name. Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, there's none like you. Our God is greater, our God is
awesome and power of God.
Father, help us to remember that you're awesome in power. You're greater than any other, Father. When we're going through trials, Lord God, and we feel like we can't go on, when we can't handle work, Lord God, or family's overwhelming us, Lord God, just when we're sick, when we're hurting, Lord God, you're above it all, Father. Help us to run to you, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. And help us to know that you are above the storm and you will help us. Help us to lean unto you, Father.
Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading in a day and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. Tell me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading. In the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you told me who I am. I am a flower quickly fading in a day and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. Whom shall whom shall I fear? For I am yours.
Whom shall I fear?
Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? For I am yours.
Father, Lord God, I know that fear is just a normal emotion, Lord God, and I know that I have a lot of fear, Lord, especially being a wife and being a mother. Lord God, there's just, I feel like you've given me such amazing gifts, and I want to take good care of them, Lord, but I also know that in perfect love, there is no fear, Lord. So I pray right now, Lord, just for myself and just for whomever might struggle with that, Lord. I know I struggle with it a lot. Father, I pray that we just have perfect love in you, Lord God, that we have perfect confidence in you, Lord, so that we won't have that fear, Lord God, fear of illness or anything happening or car accidents or just things that are out of our control, Lord God. We know that they are in your control, Father. Help us to trust that, Lord. We lift our emotions up to you, Lord God, because you can control those. Help us to give all control to you, Father.
Is devoted like a solid ring of gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and that's why I sing your praise. It will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be the orphan. Your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride, free of all her guilt, rid of all her shame, and known by her true name. And that's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, be on my lips. And you will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. And that's why ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Father, I pray that that's true, Lord God. Throughout the day, Lord, every time we get in a grumpy mood, I pray that the song just comes to our mind, Lord, that instead of complaining about something or someone, Lord God, we can just say, Father, instead of all the things that irritate me, Lord God, remind me of all the things that I'm thankful for, Father. Bring to my mind, Lord God, all the amazing things that you've done for me, Father. Not least of all is Jesus coming down and dying and taking away all my junk, which is enough.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I pray that the things of the world do not entice us, Lord. I know that, I'm just thinking about all the teenagers here, Father. You know, when we're younger, there's a lot of adults like that too, but I know when we're younger, there's this peer pressure going on. There's worrying about clothes and fitting in and all of this stuff, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you just give the teens here, Lord God, just this amazing wisdom and this amazing maturity, Lord God. Keep growing them, Father, so they go leaps and bounds way further than any of us were when we were teenagers, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you just raise up this generation, Lord, so that they can avoid as many mistakes as they can, Lord God. And I pray that they have the supernatural learning and understanding, Father. And I pray, Father, that when they're faced with things that make them want to pull away from you, Father, I pray right away that your Holy Spirit speaks to them and pulls them right back and says, no, remember, I love you. I created you. You belong to me. This stuff is junk. And when you get done going through those things, all you're going to have is sadness and emptiness and pain. Father, help them to avoid that, Father. And as adults, Lord God, for all of us that have made a billion mistakes, Lord, I pray that you help us lay those down and move forward, Father. Lord God, help us not to live in the past, Lord. Help us to be so grateful, Lord, that we are a new creation. And I pray, Father, that you help those moments that we've gone through, Father, help use those, Lord God, so that we can teach others and we can encourage others and we can build others up. Help us to be vulnerable, Lord God, to one another. Help pride have no place in our life, Lord.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You know, when you think about it, he is really all we need. What does this world have to offer? You know, it's got so many enticements, right? Doesn't it? So many things that the enemy is trying to fish, right? And what gets you is not the same thing that gets you. What knocks you off track is not the same thing that knocks you off track. But we have one that is greater in us. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. That's why it all starts with Jesus. Hebrews 12 says that he is the starter of our faith and he is the finisher of our faith. It's not in religion. It's not in going to church. It's not in going to youth group. It's not in going to Bible study. It all starts with Jesus, and then it ends with Jesus. He is the author, the perfecter, the starter, the finisher of our faith. We need to hold on to Jesus and nothing and no one else. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, let's get started. We've got a few things to go through this morning, And so, if you guys, I don't know if there's tons of bread back there from Panera, but we also have tons of Pepperidge Farm bread somewhere in here. Where is it, Uncle Tom? Okay, look where Wendy Jo is. Wait, hi, Wendy Jo. There's tons of Pepperidge Farm bread, loaves of bread. We had, I don't know, about 150 loaves on Thursday, and they've kind of gone to whatever we have now. But you are free to take that as well as the Panera loaves in Jesus' name. Also, if anybody is in need, somebody texted me. They have a 32-inch flat screen they're willing to give away if someone needs that. So if you do need that and it's not already taken, then you can see Susie Jones. We have also an HP printer copier. You can see Lisa Shuttlebauer for that. Also, if anyone in here has a daughter or granddaughter that's in need, we also have a girls' bikes, brand new from 2 to 5 years old, that we will give as a gift in Jesus' name to anyone who is in need here. So there you go. And use an opportunity to witness to a friend or to your family. Okay, so there you go. That. Anything else? Tithes and offerings, you know about that. We receive that in the back. Also, just to let you know, February 27th, this next month, at the Bradenton Nazarene Church, Secret Keeper Girl is coming. And I always hear really good stuff about that. Since I have all boys, I have no experience personally. Well, I had all boys. Anyway, so, but if you're ages from 7 to 12, I've always heard wonderful things about this. The Bible study, worship, purity, modesty. And anyway, it should be a really great time. Tickets are $26 at thejoyfm.com. If you're interested in that, or if anybody is here is interested in getting some of the girls to go, then come see me and we'll do that. Okay, equipping the saints for the ministry. We'll work on that a little bit later. We'll give away some free books in our library. We'll talk about that next week. Is Neely here today? Teaching the kids. Man, she's just doing such a great job. Her and George on the website. They're changing it around so you can look it up by Bible, by book of the Bible, and by... Anyway, there's just a lot of really wonderful stuff she's doing on there, so thank you for that. If you'd like to join us for prayer Monday mornings at 9:30 a.m. to pray, I love it when someone else teaches so that I can be at this prayer meeting. That's what I actually... That's my goal, believe it or not, every Sunday. And every Sunday, I'm... When I can't get here, I'm like, oh, Lord. So I'm just so thankful for it. So I would encourage you to come out. Also, Transformers Youth Group every Wednesday. I know this last Wednesday, I think it was a game night. But every Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30 here at Home Fellowship Church. And Josh and Amanda Panda, I would like you to meet somebody, so don't let me forget. Don't run out. Okay. Also, Thursday night, barbecue and Bible study. Last week was Hosea, going through the book of Hosea. And this week, is it Mark or is it me? Kings. It's me. We'll be in 1 Kings. Okay. So, okay, again, keep praying for all of our newly baptized folks. Would you like to show that video first? Okay, all right. We should have a video, George. Hopefully somebody's made you aware of that. Okay, it would be the one probably called, like, Sanctity of Life or something like that. And we'll show a little video, and then we'll probably have Laura come up and share for a few minutes. And then if you have questions for her afterwards or her organization, the Pregnancy Center, you can talk to her after service. Okay? Does that sound good? Okay.
My name is Laura Keelman. I'm the office manager of North River Care Pregnancy Center in Palmetto. And North River exists to equip, educate, and encourage women and men who are facing an unplanned pregnancy. And so as the film had said, we encourage them to choose life. But more importantly, we encourage them and try to lead them to choose life with Christ. Excuse me. I was thinking about coming up here today and thinking about how the things I went through when I was young. I've only been a Christian for about 20 years. I'm always a little late to the party. So I was thinking about things that I went through when I was much younger and how, if I had been a Christian then, how I would have responded differently, how I would have coped better, how my life would have been much different, and the things that affected me then I would have responded to differently. And I was at a church a few weeks ago and talking to them and saying, you know, can you imagine how these girls, those who don't know Christ, how they get through that? And I know it's what it's like to get through horrific things without Christ. And so we try to bring these girls into a relationship with Christ and to show them that that life that she is carrying is not a mistake, that God has a plan for that baby. And sometimes we only have maybe 30 weeks to talk to them and to help them. We educate them about the pregnancy. We help them with material goods. We teach them on one-on-one classes. We help them get insurance or how to deal with the insurance, because sometimes that's a little dicey. So we try to provide everything that they will need to know about this pregnancy and how to care for a baby. But a lot of them come to us never hearing the good news at all. So we might be their first experience with that. I would say maybe 90% of them, you know, were the first ones that they've ever heard anything about. So we take that very seriously. Unfortunately, some of them we may only have for 30 weeks. We have one girl, one previous client, excuse me, we've been working with her for 4 years. She came to us when she was 16, 4 years ago, pregnant. And some of them we just keep. They're just our girls, and we just keep them for life. And she's pregnant again, living with her boyfriend. It was Christmas, Susie, right, that Elizabeth, she was around our, we had invited her because we do prayer every Tuesday. And we invited her to come and pray with us. And she accepted Christ right at our kitchen table at Christmas time. And so a very young Christian. And we have kept up with her for 4 years. Well, I just found out right before we came here that her boyfriend proposed to her yesterday. So we're very excited. But we do keep with some of them. And so she's a young Christian. We are going to continue to work with her. But we try to meet all of their needs to choose life, whether it's to choose life and parent or to choose life and place. And so that is our goal at North River Care. Pastor Darren was kind enough to say that I could ask for something if I wanted to. And so we are a nonprofit. We obviously need funds. More than that, we need prayer. We covet your prayers. Because God has worked with this ministry for almost 20 years, and we're still there, even though we, you know, we're a nonprofit. But if anybody has any experience with event planning, we lost our event planner. We're a very small group. There are three of us, the director, Spanish counselor, and myself. So if anybody knows anything about event planning or has a passion for that, talk to me. And that's on a volunteer basis, by the way. Now, but anyways, to raise money or anything, we always are in need of material goods for the girls, but mostly your prayers. We just cover your prayers so much and your support. So if you have any questions, I'll be around afterwards, and you can ask whatever you like. So thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Okay. When you say material, what do you specifically?
Diapers, clothes, baby items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know for that... speaking of that, too, the North River Pregnancy Center, I do know a bunch of folks who would be happy to cook meals and that for you guys, and the Holy Smoke Barbecue. And anyway, we'll be speaking about that. We'll need some volunteers in February, as we're also doing an event for Solve House as well in February. And so, but yes, please pray. And if you have any questions at all, or you would like to donate finances, you can talk to her directly. We give as a church and support them, but we want to encourage you to do that as well. So whether it be time, maybe God's calling you, if he's stirring your heart, that's something that's on your heart, please speak to her. Anyway, I do want to say I was really proud of, how do I say this? The Lord told me not to say it. Oh, that's tough. Okay, all right, so let's jump right in to the Bible. If you could hand out some Bibles, Chris, would you mind grabbing a few? If you need one, please make sure you take one in Jesus' name, and we'll hand one out. Just raise your hand. If you're going to be asking questions or talking, feel free to grab the mic and hold it right up to you so that we can hear what you're saying. We are in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. We are zooming right along at warp speed. Mach 9, warp factor 9. Yes, we may be in sublight engine mode. Last week we talked about, in Colossians chapter 3, the old life, putting off the old things and putting on the new. In Colossians chapter 3, we went through 18, I think we only got two verses last week, 18 and 19, and the family playbook. And again, we talked about everything we do is really with the purpose of bringing people to the Lord and to be a witness for him and to shine for him. And so that's why the gospel is so important. You know, nobody's here to give you good advice on how to be a husband or good advice on how to be a wife or good advice on how to be a parent or a kid, a child or an employee or an employer. That makes no difference. You can get that from any knucklehead self book. God wants you to reflect his image in everything, in your marriage, as a husband, as a wife, as a man, as a woman, as a child, as a worker, as an employee, as a manager, that you radiate Jesus Christ. Now, I know you're not going to be perfect, right? But by and large, that Holy Spirit working in you with the gospel, that's a life-changing thing. And that Holy Spirit is going to draw you to please him more than you please yourself and to reflect his image to others. That's the purpose and goal of all this. And so last week we talked about a very fun topic. We talked about the verses 18 and 19 about, you know, wives submit to your husbands. And we talked about what submission was and what it was not, you know, and what that submission looks like as a Christian and what it should not look like, right? And how we're supposed to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, okay? And how are we to submit as is fitting to the Lord? In other words, the focus is on the Lord, not favoring the husband or the wife. The focus is our submission is to be, as a wife to her husband, is to be as is fitting to the Lord. We spoke in depth about that, but as honors the Lord. And so we talked about that. Then we talked about, you know, when we don't submit, but that's another story. Husbands, love your wives. And that word for love was agape. And that is a self-sacrificing love. That's a love that expects nothing in return. That's a giving love. That's a serving love. If you're a man of God, that's what you should be doing for your wife and family. Not just coming home, I worked a hard 8 hours. All she had to do was take care of the kids. Doi! Listen, if you're a man of God, you get off your butt and you start serving your wife. How can I help you? How can I serve you? How? And if she's not, and regardless, these things, ladies, if you're, you do the submitting to honor the Lord, and you do it for his glory and for his benefit. And that means as is fitting to the Lord, as it honors the Lord. And men, you love your wives and don't embitter them. Don't be harsh with them. You are to love them with a self-sacrificial love in a way that's an example to them. in a way that shows them Jesus Christ. That's how we're to love other people, right? When we come home, and I know as a guy, you just wanted to like shut down, right? You finally made it back to the home. But the Lord is saying, you get back at home, now I want you to get up and work and serve your family and serve your wife. And that's the kind of man, that's the kind of love that we're supposed to have. Oh, I love it, nice and cold. All right. And can I just say one other thing? That word, don't be harsh with them, in the Greek, it means don't embitter them. You know, you got the guy with the bad attitude, he's always stomping around because he's not getting his way. You know, he's never happy with this, never happy with that. You're embittering your wife, man. Suck it up, buttercup. Give that to the Lord, right? Don't embitter them. It's the same, it's only used four times in the Bible, right? Don't be harsh with them. Some of your Bibles say don't embitter them. It's only used four times, once here, and all the rest are in Revelation. Isn't that weird? And you know where it is in Revelations? Revelation, excuse me. When they're doing the trumpets of God, right? And it says, I can't remember if it's the third trumpet. I'm just going to go from memory here. I don't remember for sure, so don't. If you want to correct me afterwards, I'll suck it up. But I think it's the third trumpet, and the waters were made bitter, right? Wormwood, right? It's the same word. Bitterness, and the waters were made bitter, so that when God pours out his judgment on mankind, he rejects them, and the waters were made bitter, and people die. And I think it was a third of the earth dies. It's the same word. Husbands, don't embitter your wife. You can do that by being a selfish, self-centered person. That's what we are without Christ. If you are in Christ, you're to be serving and loving. Does that make sense? Okay. Now we're going to all pick on the children together. So that's great. Now we're going to talk to kids and parents. If you could, for the next verses, Chris, if you hit the light. Somebody with a microphone can maybe read, let's say, 20 and 21, I think.
I've got it here.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged.
Mm. Well, that pretty much says everything. Oi, oi, oi. Okay. So, you know, we have even, it says in that verse, it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And so, kids, and of course, I have to say this because we live in a sin-filled world, right? Just like in the submission thing, when it says, children, obey your parents in everything, right? It means as unto the Lord. Okay, I have to say this because there are some kids who are saved and their parents aren't saved. Do you know what I'm saying? So if your parent is telling you to do something without getting into any detail, okay, if your parents are telling you, and believe me, after doing counseling for 20 years, I've seen some terrible, terrible things and a lot of it. If they're telling you to do anything that's, say, ungodly or wrong, and I don't want to get into a lot of specifics, but hopefully you know what I'm talking about. If your parents are asking you to do something wrong or evil or inappropriate, then that is where you would say, no, I follow the Lord because he is your master, okay? But other than that, the Bible is saying, I want you children to obey your parents in all things, right? As an example, again, and to do it for the Lord. Don't do it so that you can be the best kid, you know, in the house, or so that you can say, oh, how great is Josh, you know. Don't do it for that reason. Oh, Isabella, she's so good. Don't do it for that. You do it to please the Lord. He's the reason why you do all these things. So whether mom appreciates it or dad appreciates it, you know who appreciates it? The Lord. Does that make sense? You do it all for him. Whatever you do in word or deed, you do it all for the glory of God. That is our life. Does that make sense? And we even see that submission, you know, that obedience, you know, in Jesus. You know, here we have the Father, right? And the Son. We have the Son in nature, God, right? But But yet we have a father-son relationship. And it says that Jesus was obedient to the Father in all things, right? He always did what pleased the Father. So we even see that example in the Trinity, right? In the Godhead, right? We even see that in Scripture where it says Jesus was obedient even to his earthly parents. Here we have the King of the universe coming down in the form of a little baby and a child, right? And it says in Luke 2:51, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, to his earthly parents. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Now, believe it or not, there's only four times, or five times, we'll say four times, you guys can all read the Bible and let me know if this is right by next week. There's only four times that I know of where the Lord is speaking these general commands, where he speaks general commands to children. Okay? Usually it's for all of us. But he speaks four times in the Scriptures to kids, and it's all around this, around being obedient, okay? Ephesians 6:1-3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Again, in the Lord, for this is right. And he says, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth, okay? Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and mother, so that you may live in the land the Lord of God, Lord your God has given you. He says this to you, to your kids. He says, honor your father, your mother. Deuteronomy 5:16, a like verse. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and might go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. And here, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And also, you know what? Honestly, guys, and to do it with the right attitude. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Can I just be blunt honest with you? If we ask one of the kids to, let's say, take out the garbage, okay? I guess I can't get enough. Drag. Okay, let me tell you, that's not, when he wants you to obey your parents, you're to do it joyfully, to please the Lord. Now, do you think the Lord is all pleased with us when he gives us a command and we're like, okay, Lord, I'll do it, but I don't want to. Grumble, complain. Praise the Lord. Do you think the Lord is pleased with that? No, because he wants our heart attitude right. So part of being obedient, guys, is to do it with a godly attitude, right? To serve with a joyful heart because it pleases the Lord. Well, mom doesn't say thanks enough for what I do. Dad is expecting so much out of me. Oh, when teens say that, I'm like thinking to myself, oh, you have no idea. But listen, we're to do this because it pleases the Lord and to show obedience because you're showing Christ to other people. So when you're out at a restaurant or you're out and hey, I need you to go to the car to do something. And somebody, oh, okay, would you go and get that? Would you go get your little brother? Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Wow, your kids, what is it with your, we've had somebody at Target said that to us. It's not about us. Again, it's about Jesus. Like, I don't know, like a month or two ago, we were at Target. We don't normally shop at Target, I got to say that. But somebody blessed us Christmas with gift cards for Target. And so we went there to use those gift cards that they got us. And the teller was just like saying, you have, I've worked here for 20 years and I've never seen kids like this. I was like, you know, I was just saying, you know what? It's really the Lord. It's an opportunity. Now we're reflecting him. It's not because we're great parents. I'm a great dad. Lisa's a great mom. You know, there just happened to be one of those, you know, yeah, you have some of those like perfect kids. I don't know. They're like little robots. I am a perfect obedient kid. But ours aren't like that. But they can say it's the Lord. See, we reflect him. Now, don't get discouraged. We've also been to the places where they, you know, you get the looks like, oh gosh, look at those kids. We had plenty of years of those too. Okay, so, you know, and I get a lot of parents too, you know, or a lot of kids, you know, teens sometimes have the attitude, you know, well, I don't have a good attitude, but, you know, I'm not drinking or doing drugs, I'm not sleeping around, you know, so what's the big deal? All right? Well, listen, what's the big deal? And sometimes parents will have that attitude, right? It's almost like those are the only two indicators. Oh, they're not doing drugs. They're not sleeping around. So, oh, let them do whatever they want. Let them have a terrible, rebellious attitude. Praise the Lord. No, this is serious stuff, dudes and dudettes. Listen, this is what it says about you having that rebellious attitude, okay? 1 Samuel 15:20. You all know that look. You do. Oh, should I tell the story? No. Oh, I've got so many great stories. Oh, sorry. But anyway, listen, that rebellion, right, that's in your kid's heart. Oh, she's just sassy. She's just a little sassy. You know what? She just needs a little spanky is what she needs. I'm just being, right? She needs some time out. That's what happened. That rebellion in her heart is going to grow. That selfishness, that self-centeredness that you're allowing as a parent or that kids, you think, oh, what's the big deal? I go to church and youth group. Most kids don't even do that. I just got a rebellious attitude. What's the big deal? My parents shouldn't be asking me to do all this work anyway. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. Ooh, I want to say something about that, about witchcraft, but I'm going to let it go. But he's trying to make a point, like, how bad is it? Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft itself, drawing on demonic powers. So you having that little bad attitude with your parents, whatever like that, whatever. If they're asking you to do something ungodly, no. But if they're asking you to do something, you do it too because it pleases the Lord, right? Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. Well, I'm just stubborn. That's all I am. I'm just stubborn. And then he goes on to say, so because you've rejected the command of the Lord, he's rejected you as king. Listen, the Lord is wanting to get that little stuff, that rebelliousness out at that young age. If you let that grow and fester, you know what you're going to have on your hands? You're going to have teenagers that are bigger and more mouthy because they've learned more words and more rebellious. And then you're going to have adults who are now in your face about it. Because now they're all full of pride and rebelliousness. And they know a lot more. And then before you know it, you're going to have a 56-year-old man baby who's treating his wife and his kids because he's a man of the house. I don't need to listen to nobody. I'll be able to work wherever I want. That rebelliousness is serious and needs to be dealt with. Sue, can we get you a mic? I don't know who has a mic. Thanks. Thank you, Sue.
I think Jesus gives us a good example, and he says that to have authority, you have to be under authority.
Ooh.
And as parents, if we truly go to the Lord and ask him how we should be handling things, and we can then show our children that the reason that they can't watch sex and violence on TV or listen to it on the radio or whatever is because we are truly under the authority of God.
Yes.
And we have to answer.
Right.
You know, we are giving them directive, right, because we have to answer to, yes, God about how we parent.
Yes.
You know, that enables them to shift it to the Lord more easily,
yes,
which is where it should be. That's where we want them to be ultimately.
Absolutely.
Is under God's,
yes,
leadership.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well said. And, you know, here's the thing, too. You know, as parents, yeah, how much more? Well, we'll talk about that later because that's an excellent point, and I want to address that specifically. We need to be examples. Okay, I see a few more hands raising up, so we'll see, Nate, you're back from Colorado skiing, and we're getting all this exercise for you, huh?
It's good. It's good.
Now, I just wanted to say one thing. I've said it to Mark many times, that I am so grateful that my kids are grown, married, kids of their own, and I'm not having to parent them. I give great kudos to parents today with all the things that are out there that they have to deal with their kids. It's a hard time to be a parent.
It sure is. Yeah, and we're going to get to that in a minute as well. But you're absolutely right. It is, especially being a Christian parent.
the Lord gives us instruction on how to do that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he gives us the priority and the order in which to do it. When he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words, which I am commanding you today, will be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk with them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up."
Yes.
We have to love the Lord first.
Yes.
He is number one, no doubt, all out, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then the words that he puts there will, he commands us, will be on our hearts. And then, and only then,
yes,
can we teach.
Yes, that is
if
correct.
If that's not the priority, it ain't going to work.
It's backwards. You're absolutely correct. We got a couple more over here. I have a slide for that, but whatever.
You know, your talk on rebellion, you know, Cameron, yep, reminds me of a story you told us one time.
Uh-oh.
In church. You told us about that there was one time there was this mom with her son, you know, at the store, you know, and the child was like, "I want a cookie." And she's like, "No. I want a cookie now." He's like, "No." But then all of a sudden he started pitching a hissy fit and started banging his head on the, yeah, ground. She was like, "Okay, all right, I'm sorry, I'll give you a cookie. But then a guy walked up to her and said, you give her that cookie instead of, you give him that cookie, yeah, instead of banging his head on the ground, in the future he's going to be banging on someone else's head." And
I forgot about that.
Yeah. After that, the mom turned to the child, "You will not have a cookie."
That's absolutely right. And again, the goal is to train them and prepare them for the future. You know, does that make sense? Carrie, you want to say something as well?
I just wanted to say that I don't think it's ever too late to become a good parent.
Right.
The Lord said, "This is the day, if
good,
you hear my voice, even if you have a 56-year-old
yes,
child, it's never too late."
Amen. That is really a good word. God is so merciful and compassionate. It's never too late. Right. So maybe you've made mistakes. We don't want anybody feeling condemnation. You can start today. Do you know what I mean? You can start to turn the wheel today. Ask Jesus to help you. Jesus, take that wheel and turn it. That's a really good word. And when you're young, guys, you know, what ages? People ask me, like, what ages are these things? You can't set an exact age. Well, from 2 to 12, they just have to be obedient. You know, but there is kind of an order to things. But as they get older, they're going to start to reason more. And you got to train them more and coach them more. And there's going to be a shift in some of that. So in their earlier years, yeah, you just need to obey, you know. And so, you know, but as they get older, you know, just like there's a reasoning to things. And like Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put these childish ways behind me." So as they grow and they start reasoning, you know, you're going to have to start training and explaining. Hey, just obey because mom and dad said so. No, you're going to give them the moral reason why. Why? Because we want to honor the Lord in this area. Blah, blah, blah. I don't want to say blah, blah, blah like that. But you know what I'm saying? We bring it back to the word for things. So that they think, okay, everything I do honors the Lord. And then you're going to get into coaching. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, even Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together." So there's like four stages of parenting. And don't get mad at my words, but I probably spelled consultant wrong. Now that I look at that. Probably counselor. Oh, anyway, don't look at the spelling. Okay, so the four stages of parenting. You know, okay, you know, as a parent, you know, the first stage, you're a commander. They just got to obey, right? Just do it. You can't explain every single reason why for everything. You know, mom said so is enough sometimes. Dad said so. But then as they get a little bit older, you're going to be your coaching. You're going to be training into them. You want them to understand the reason why. It's because it honors the Lord or dishonors the Lord or because of this or I have a responsibility to the Lord. You bring it all back to his heart and his word and his spirit. You bring it back to the word so that they have it in their mind. And then as they get older, even older as a teen years, you become a counselor. You know, Elijah, for example, you know, we'll be looking to go see a movie, and Elijah will be like, you know, Dad, I went on Plugged In Online, which is from Focus on the Family, and I read that movie review. We were going to go see a movie. I'm not sure if that's the best. I just want you to know it has this and that in it. Oh, I didn't even know. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Well, you know, hey, I was going to listen to this, but, you know, hey, son, maybe you shouldn't. Have you looked at the lyrics of that? No, I haven't. That's a good idea. So it's almost like you become this counselor so that they're learning to do these things yourself. Yeah, Dad, I remember Hezekiah was telling us, hey, we had to turn this movie off. We were watching because it was just showing too much scandal. It was dishonoring to the Lord or whatever. It's too much language. It was just too much. We turned it off so that I don't even need to be there anymore because we've counseled them. And then as you get older, I haven't quite reached this stage where they leave the house and you basically become a consultant where, hey, Mom, Dad, you know, I want help when I ask for it. I'm mature. But that's kind of the stages of this parenting as we're training them in the Lord. And so it goes on to say in Colossians 3:21, it says, actually, the Lord's saying to me to go back for 1 second. I'm going to tell you something with this rebelliousness, and I'm really begging you. If you, I don't know why, if you leave this unchecked, I guarantee you're going to have a kid. You're hamstringing your kid. You're setting him up for failure. If you don't deal with that rebellious attitude where they think it's all about them, where they're all prideful, they're bigger than their britches, right? They don't submit to authority. They don't submit to everyone. I guarantee you are setting them up for complete failure in life, Mom and Dad. Because when they get out of a job, oh, I don't need to take that job. I'm just going to leave. Oh, I don't need to listen to my boss. Oh, I don't need to listen to my college professor. You are setting them up for Loserville. They're not going to be able to hold a job. They're not going to be. Don't do that to your kids, please. All right. Oh, it says, fathers, do not embitter, Colossians 3:21, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And thank you very much for that. That word embitter right there in the Greek, it just means don't embitter, don't stir up, don't provoke your kids. I'm a teaser, okay? Hezekiah calls me the teaser geezer, a little punk. But anyway, I tease, so I got to be careful. Sometimes my wife will go, okay, Darren, you're teasing too much. Sometimes I'll tease to kind of snap them out of a bad attitude or something like that, you know, the older kids. But sometimes I can push it too much and be like, you're provoking them to anger. They're getting discouraged. And I'll be like, oh, sorry. So, but we don't want to embitter our children where we feel like they can't win. You know what I mean? Like a parent that wants everything so perfect that their kid just feels like they can't do anything right. Don't do that. They're going to become discouraged. Okay? Now, I don't want anybody to think that we do everything right because we absolutely do not. I had a bunch of Greek words and all that stuff I was going to go over, but the bottom line is don't embitter your children. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So dads, don't, if you're making your kid feel like they just can't do anything right, something's wrong. Or mom. By the way, that word fathers in Greek starts with a P, but it actually could also mean parents. So that would go for mom or dad. Don't provoke your kids. Don't stir them up to wrath. Don't embitter them to get them so angry they just hate you. Don't do that to your kids. Show them the love of Christ. You can show them lots of firm discipline, but you also show them lots of love and encouragement. That's how we're to do things. Yes.
Beings too, thanks,
absolutely,
and should, you know, feel free to say it. My parents, that generation before, would never have apologized and said I'm wrong, but that's a good thing to do.
Yes, amen.
You make mistakes,
and more so as parents, we should be the first ones to step up. that means you're the strongest. Whoever's the strongest, you know, if you're strong, then you'll be the first one to ask for forgiveness. It's the weak ones that they're too embarrassed or whatever to ask. So be a strong man, be a strong woman of God, whether you're a child or a parent. But, you know, there's this thing. The Peace Corps, the Peace Corps, it was a slogan they had many years ago. I thought it was for the Marines, but this was the slogan, okay? It was, they would have this old video would come on and say, Peace Corps, the toughest job you'll ever love. And, you know, I think that whoever came up with that slogan, because it's really great, obviously was never a parent. Because they wouldn't have been able to say that with a clear conscience. Because if you're a parent, that's what it is. It's the toughest job you'll ever love. And to be blunt honest with us, okay, sometimes it's just the toughest job. Right? It's like wearing your heart on the outside of your body. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you see them mess up, you see them fail, you see them, it's hurtful. It is almost, it's like damaging to you. And so I want to go over a couple of parenting things. And who am I? You know, we're not the old wise owls, but, you know, I did a teaching many, many years ago, you know, and we looked it back over, and I was just going to grab a couple of quick points. And Lisa's like, this is all really solid. And here we are 10, 20 years later. It's all biblical. Do you know what? The same thing applied with our two-year-old. Now here we are 10, 20 years, whatever, later, and it still applies just as much, because God's word is solid through any generation, okay? And so we're going to give you guys just a couple of whatever tips and trying to center around God's word that will hopefully help you. And it's almost like, okay, why don't you just do a teaching on parenting or on, you know, for parents and kids? Well, we had this in Chicago, and I don't know, I don't see that this down here, but up north, I don't know why they would do it, but every once in a while, they would come and they would open the fire hydrants. I don't know if they ever, do they do it here? Okay, well, so we always used to play, you know, just open the fire hydrants, you know, and okay, so whenever you're talking about parenting, you can't cover everything. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, if you ever have a person who says, well, I've wrote the book on parenting, we know everything there is to know, and our kids are, maybe they have those little perfect robot kids, you know, whatever, but they can still be sinning in their hearts. If anybody ever tells you they're the perfect parent or they've got it all, can I just tell you, run from those people? Run from them, because they don't know what they're talking about. We're all continually learning, okay? So there are just some things we're going to go over biblically to cover some of these things so that hopefully you could be encouraged in the Lord. And it's kind of like a top 12 list or a top 10 list, whatever you want to say. But before we get started, I want to give you guys free stuff, because we don't want to waste our resources and the money. You guys give very generously and tithe and each week and each month. But we also want to equip you in the Lord. That's the main heart of this church. And so there are some things here that we want to give away and I want to make available to you. So I'm going to go over it real quickly with you. Okay, because we all need resources. All right? So here we go. This is not the only things. But this is the first thing. Okay, it's a mom's look at heart-oriented discipline. Don't make me count to three, okay? Okay, it's Ginger Plowman. I did a parenting conference with her many years ago, and she was a wonderful encourager, and it's getting to the heart of your child, okay, taking them back to the word through everything, okay? It's practical, she's funny, she's real, you know, like she's not like that perfect little mom, you know, that seems to have it all worked out. You know what I'm saying? She's just not. She's great. But she brings it back, and she's got lots of practical examples. It's an easy, fun read. And listen, as we're talking this parent about parenting, don't shut down, because this is all coming from God's word. And so this will teach you how to relate. Maybe you've got grandchildren, or you're going to know, we're all children in the Lord, right? So don't shut down, okay? So anyway, so we're going to give away some stuff. If anybody wants it, this is the first one we're going to give away. Don't take it if you're not going to read it through. Okay? So this is the first one. Does anybody want one of these? Don't make me count to three. All right, Chris, would you mind? I'm going to ask you to deliver these. They're a gift from this body in Jesus' name. Okay? A gift from this body in Jesus' name. And if you don't have enough, Chris, just tell me how many more you need. Okay? Keep your hands up. We're going to deliver them right to you. Okay, that's a great question. Okay, here, this particular one I would say would be is great from about 2 to 12. 2 to 12, this particular book, okay? I'll have another one that's going to help you. All right, 2 to 12. She also has this, which is fantastic. This is called Wise Words for Mom. Proverbs says, processing, stand by. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws it out. And how we draw out these things from our kids is with questions. And then we ask questions, okay? And then we back it up with scripture, okay? You can address any situation kind of with a question that gets to the heart of the issue. And then we tell them what to put off, okay? For example, maybe it's bragging, you know? Or lying, or bad friendships, or coveting, or giving up, or a defiant attitude, or fear, or lying, or deceit, you know. And it'll talk about, okay, you know, here's some questions. You know who the father of lies is. It just gets them to think and bring them back to the scriptures on everything. And to put off lying. The Lord hates lying lips. But here's the scripture, but he delights in those who are truthful. We want you to delight God's heart. And it's a list of heart-probing questions, the child's behavior, heart-probing questions, and what to put off and what to put on scripture. It's amazing. So if anybody would like any of these, here, take them all. If you're a parent or deal with kids, right there. Raise your hand, and they're just free in Jesus' name, okay? Take it as a gift. I use that sometimes with adults, too, to be honest with you. Now, here's the next step up, okay, on getting the heart of your kids. This is called Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp, okay? This I would probably read after that Ginger Plowman book. This, to be blunt honest, is a lot deeper. Okay, it is really, and it can be used, honestly, there's stuff in here that helps you to get to the heart of the issues with God's word, right? Get beyond the behavior to the heart with God's word. This goes much deeper. The first few chapters are slow, but then it just goes deep like a rocket. It's not as practical as that other book, but it goes much deeper, and you can use this with adults as well. And I have a bunch of these. If you would like, as a gift in Jesus' name, this will help you to counsel anybody, even including adults. And so, would anybody like one of these? If so, okay. Yeah, would you mind? There's two people also here. Here's a few more. Here's another one of these. Thanks. Also, Punk. Oh, sorry, Isabel. I'm going to give this to you. You can talk to me after. I really felt like you were for months. I thought you were supposed to read that. Yeah, keep your back. And Josh, I felt like you were supposed to read this as well. Oh, you got one already? Lovely. But I said you were supposed to read this. Ooh. Bam. How do you like me now? You know what I'm saying to you. Thanks. Yes. Yes. We also will be doing a parenting course over the summer. Is that correct? As part of the school, we have to do that. And so we want to make you aware of that. Yes? Betty?
I was going to get one of the books.
You what now? One of the books? Okay, sure. Okay. And then also, there's another one for teens called Age of Opportunity. I don't have any of those in right at this moment. We'll get them in. Don't you worry, Hezekiah. We definitely need them. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can say whatever your little heart desires, and we'll just bring you the microphone, little lovely and talented Soap. We'll bring it right to you.
I don't think that one thing that I've always felt is just because you become a grandparent doesn't mean that you're excused from parenting.
No.
And I think too many grandparents will be like, oh, they can do whatever they want, and it's grandma's house. And I think you can spoil them, but I think that it's really important to continue. You don't have to disrespect. I mean, because maybe you have a child that's not saved and they're not teaching.
Right.
But there's still rules and still things in your own home that you and expectations.
Yes.
And so anyway, I just as a grandparent, I think that we can love and be different and more patient, but
yes,
it doesn't mean that all our parenting just goes out the window. And absolutely. And I think that happens too much.
Well, you know what? And sometimes that happens as parents. We're going to address some of that stuff because sometimes we get lazy. Sometimes we're just overwhelmed. Sometimes we don't know exactly what to do. But yes, okay, I see another hand right here.
You know, I love those books that we're handing out. I read them about 20 years ago when I first started working with kiddos before we even had our kids. And, you know, the thing that just keeps coming back is, you know, the shepherding a child's heart is the reason that they work for both so kids and adults is there's nothing new under the sun. You know, the same sin issues that we're working on with a two-year-old, we have all of our lives. You know, they're the same things, and we're trying to get them under control before they become out of control. Yes. But, you know, you're deciphering their hearts and teaching them how to decipher their hearts so that they'll be able to look at it as, oh, I'm not just stubborn. Well, I have a rebellious spirit and say the same words that God says about it and be able to repent instead of just calling it, oh, I'm just like this. You know, well, we're just like this because we have a sin nature.
Yes.
You know, so that's what they're doing. These books are training you how to, one, it trained me how to decipher my own heart, you know, using God's word.
It does that too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's why the same concepts you can use in counseling adults, because that's what we need to do. We need to be real about our own hearts and where these things are coming from so that we can deal with it biblically and not just brush it under the rug like, you know, we do so well in this world.
Yes.
You know, anyways.
Good. A couple more. Jen over there and Mark over there.
I like the saying, it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
And I think that's important when it comes to biblical concepts. A lot of times kids get tired of hearing things from their parents and don't necessarily believe everything their parents say until somebody else reiterates it.
Absolutely.
And then they can, you know, see it in a whole new light.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, this is kind of a funny story. Let me see if this is, hold on a second. I want to make sure, are the ends or, no, okay. All right, so you guys know that we had some, we have more kids staying with us. Anyway, one of the kids, you know, we've been working on some of these things, getting to the heart of issues biblically and training these kids that are with us now. We've been kind of like in our family right now. And so we've been, one of the things is, you know, teaching them how to think of others ahead of themselves and, you know, just biblical concepts like that, holding the door for people, preferring. And so two of our kids, they went with another pastor and his family, an Assembly of God, and they went and spent the weekend with them, and they came back, and they just said some really wonderful things to us and about us. It was really beautiful. And then after they left and we went out, the kid, again, I don't want to use a name, it went and held the door for everybody, okay, which is what we normally teach, right? So I've been sharing this with them, I don't know how many times, you know, let's just say 30 times with them. And I said, oh, hey, great job, so-and-so. You're thinking of others ahead of yourselves. Great job. And this is what he said to me. He goes, yeah, the other pastor, yeah, just talked to me about it this weekend. And I realized that's what I should be doing. Twitch. I know I shouldn't have said this is where you get the pastor fail. I said, what are you talking about? I've told you like 30 times. What do you mean? But, you know, and I'm okay, just what? Great. You know what? So what? You know what? Praise the Lord that the other person, right, like Jen is saying, is instilling the same thing. You see, if we're on the same page biblically, then we're going to go in the same direction. And we're going to be encouraging in the same way. Now, it'll come through a different way through Sue than it will through Laura, than it will through Natalie, than it will through Josh, because we're different personalities. We're wired different, right? But it's the same heart message, right? Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? When you give that word, and who cares ultimately, right? You might give the word a million times. I remember a family, worked really wonderfully with this kid. And this kid, while they were with me, gave his life to the Lord. Pastor Dan, I want, and they gave his life to the Lord. So I was all excited. I'm like, wow, this is an amazing thing. He's in tears. So I went to him, worked with them for years. The mom was mad at me. Was literally mad at me. How could you lead him to the Lord? We do that. We've been working on him for years and years. Okay, well, that's great. I thought this was a great thing. And later she came, of course, apologized. But the bottom line is, we're to give it out there and put it out there. You don't know. God's word won't return void. When you're drawing people to him, it's going to have an effect. Can I tell you something? There's something on our mirror. There's a lot of stuff on our mirror. We got boys. But anyway, but in our bathroom, okay, there's certain times of the day, okay, there's actually writing on our mirror. Okay? You can see it. Now, we've cleaned the mirror 100 times with 100 different ways, but you can still see an imprint. It says, no eyes have seen and no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, can I just ask you, Lisa, I don't know, I really don't know, how long ago, you wrote that because it's in, like, fancy writing. How long? At least 5 years ago. Maybe, yeah, you've cleaned her. So let's just say 5 or 10 years ago, 7 years ago, that was written. And the Lord said, isn't that an illustration of you giving out the word? Because in a certain light, at a certain time, even though we've done all of a sudden, the word shines through. And see, every time you're giving the word to your kids or your family or your friends or your coworkers, that word is being planted in their hearts. Now, it might spring forth and bring fruit forth 5 years from now or 5 months from now or 5 minutes from now. One person may plant it, another may water it, but God's going to make it grow. You can trust him in that. You just plant those seeds, right? And listen, okay, so I had an idea of getting through like 12 things. So obviously not going to happen today, but can I just say, oh man. Let me just say one quick thing. Because all of us can feel like we're condemned, like we are poopy parents at one point or another. Isn't that true? Right? We feel like we got the big failure stamp, right? Let's just be honest. We all feel that way, right? A loser. But can I just remind you of something? Do you remember, don't let that condemnation define who you are. Right. Somebody said it in here earlier. You know, we go forward. And if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. So even if you're in Christ and you've made a lot of mistakes like we do, you can still ask for forgiveness and go forward from this day in the right direction. And I want you to think about this too. Listen, you're a sinner. Mom, Dad, this is very discouraging. No, but it's true, right? You're a sinner. That means you're not going to get everything right. You're not going to be the perfect parent. So will you please take that burden off of you? You're not going to be the perfect. And this is going to be a shocker. You're not going to have perfect kids.
Oh, man.
They have this little thing I like to call free will. Which, let's just say you're one of those perfect parents, you know, you've got everything, let's close to perfect, okay? You do it all right. You got the perfect environment. You got the perfect, you've read all the books. You implement everything biblically. Oh, man, you're an encourager, but also a discipliner. You're not a whiner. You got it down, right? You got your own mommy blog. You are the dad. You're not the wimpy dad. That's just like, let the mom take care of the kids. You're involved in your kids' life. You're teaching them, training them in the word. You care. You nailed it. Your kids can still go the wrong way.
But they'll come back.
Here's the thing. I want you to think about this. Do you remember back in Genesis chapter 3? Mm-hmm. There was a dad. And he was a really loving dad. And he had a really loving environment. In fact, not only did he have this, was he an incredible loving dad with an incredible loving environment, he knew how to teach the Word. In fact, you know what?
He was the Word.
He knew how to teach it. He knew how to implement it. And he would walk with his kids in the heat of the day in this garden, this perfect environment. So here you have the perfect environment with the perfect parent. And you know how many rules they had?
One
rule. Now it was a biggie, right? One rule. And what do you think happened? George, is that your way of telling me to be quiet? The bottom line is, guys, here it is. If you have a perfect environment, perfect father, right, perfect situation, they had that one rule and they broke it, right? And God gave them consequences for that. But the bottom line is, don't let the enemy condemn you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There might be realization, oh, I'm missing the mark here. I need to, and we're going to go over some of these things. If you are a parent or grandparent, or if you love the Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to come back and to hear what he has to say as we go over these things. We'll do it biblically. We'll have discussions just like we normally do. And we're going to get to the heart of the issue. But remember, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So don't ever classify yourself as that loser parent and give up, because this is what the Word says, you know, because you just kind of give up as a parent. And, well, I'm going to say, here's what it says. Galatians 6:9, if you can hit that light. As a parent, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So from this day forward, you go on. Okay, a couple comments, and then we'll close out in prayer.
I noticed something today for the first time when you went to Isaiah 1:18. The Lord not only gives us a command of what to do, he tells us why, what will happen if we do, and what will happen if we don't. And in 18 it says, "Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." That's what we're supposed to do, and that's where we are.
Yes.
Now, here's the good news. If you consent and obey to 18, you will eat the best of the land.
Yeah.
That's great news.
Yes.
But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Wow. Here's where we are. Here's what you need to do, and it'll work out well. And if you don't, here's what's going to happen, and it won't be pretty.
Yes.
The whole Word of God is like this. I'm thinking about all the different places in Scripture where that is. He doesn't just tell us what to do and leave us hanging.
Right.
He gives us the good news and the bad news,
yes,
and we're the ones that get to choose.
That's right, and we're going to go over that next week, too. Tim.
Okay, just first I wanted to start off and say, there's no greater blessing than to mold the spirit of a young child.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen to that.
I found that my son, he's only 5.
Yeah.
And when I start to sit down and I read the Bible, he's very interested in it. I mean, it just opens something up into him that he wants to know more about it. And when I send him home to his mom's, he's asking them all kinds of questions about it and everything. So when you sit down and you take the time with your children,
yes,
they're going to want more. You know, they're going to want to learn more.
Yes.
They're going to want to see, because it's fascinating, not only to us as adults, but to the children as well.
Amen. Yep. And we'll talk about that next week, too. It's one of the things we're going to address. Good. Anything else? Yeah, a couple more. Thank you, so. A couple more, and then we'll close out in prayer.
I'm sure we'll get into more next time.
Yep.
But don't compare yourself to another parent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we come to church, and, you know, we see one parent, you know, say the right thing and handle a situation right. that may be a victory for them because they're trying to overcome.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have just as many failings. One person's strength is another person's weakness.
Yes.
You know, I have a friend and I'm great at planning and meal planning and doing and she's better at the teaching and the words and knowing exactly what to say. We can't compare.
Right.
You know, the Lord has a different path for each one of us.
Yes.
And we can just learn and follow him and grow in him.
And that's the main thing. We learn and follow and grow. God's always after your heart, whether you're kids or parents or whatever. All right. Well, let's take a minute and pray. Is there someone else who wanted to say?
I want to say one thing. Oh,
wow.
Don't stop being a parent either just because you're 60 years old.
Amen.
I've fostered some other kids lately that their parents have stopped being parents.
Yes. And that can happen at any time. Yes. So honestly, especially with those two books I gave out, right, especially with shepherding, if you want to know how to help people and counsel people at whatever age, I'm encourage you, don't be lazy. Read that book. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to guarantee, I was going to make a bet, but the Lord's saying, don't do that. But I will just say, I absolutely give my personal guarantee that if you go into this, you're reading this book, and Lord, will you teach me something? He's going to show you how to help, using these books, how to help you to get to the heart of issues biblically. And you're going to be able to help many, many people if you're open to it. Well, let's just pray in general right now. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, so much. You know all that's going on, Father, everywhere, Lord. You know what's going on there. You know what's going on here. Lord God, I'm just so grateful for you, Lord. I just seen how your word works, Lord, so well when we just hold on to it, Lord, and we do it your way. And I've seen it just work so poorly when we don't. And so I'm asking you, Lord, I can't motivate anybody to do anything, but you right now can work on everybody's hearts, Lord. Those that have got some of these things to read it, to seek you in it, to see you in it, that you would teach them, Lord. It's your Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. So teach us, Lord, train us up on how to be good parents and grandparents and children and friends and family, Lord. Help us to be a surrogate family, Lord, and to help one another, Lord God. Do things your way, Lord. And I pray if there wasn't enough books or what, you would stir them up to read them, Lord. And even to ask, hey, I didn't get one, but now I want one. Or I want that parenting class. Whatever it is, Lord God, I just want more of you, Lord, that you would help us each to draw closer to you, that no one would leave here feeling condemned, but encouraged, that you have a purpose and a plan, Lord God, and you want to equip us to go out and to help your people to know you better, Lord, and to live for you. So help us first to do that, that your word would be in our hearts, that we would be bearing fruit, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank you for who you are, Lord. And sometimes you're not changing our circumstances and changing our situations because you're trying to change our hearts. Amen. So, Lord, as far as it is within me, change my heart, Lord. Change our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 And amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week, and we will see you Wednesday or Thursday.